do you make time in your life for everything that's important to you? Notice I said make and not have time, because we all have the exact same amount of time, the hours in a day and the days in a year. And it's how we choose to use them that makes the difference. So today our topic on the quality of God that we're focusing on is balance. And some people think they're in balance when they feel like they have everything under control in their lives. Or for those of you who are Libras, it's the constant desire to weigh and measure and make sure everything's coming out just right. And that kind of balance kept reminding me of the teeter-totter. Remember those things that we used to get on as little children? I know I did it a lot when I was young. And, you know, that it's like a board on a little triangle. And the trouble is that when you and the other person were exactly even, it was no fun. Isn't that true? It just kind of was, when everything's in control, when everything is in total, you know, everything is the right piece here and the right piece there, there was no movement. So there's a difference then between spiritual balance and what we call a balancing act. And one comes from God's work within us in order to bring order and priority in our lives. And the other relies on the outside resources to organize our time and our tasks and, you know, we're constantly putting ourselves under the gun. So in seeking to achieve balance in our life, it's important to understand the difference. A balancing act is an outward attempt to meet the demands of all the responsibilities in our life. We have to work hard. We have to do it. We have to make it all work. So we think that in order to achieve balance, we need to focus on organizing our tasks, organizing our time, having better responsibility, having more organizational skills, developing better time management skills, right? Isn't that what balance seems to be about? That's the balancing act. And the results of this type of effort, I have to say, are useful, but they're limited. The balance that we're looking at, spiritual balance, is something that comes from God and something that we get to experience more as we seek to know God more intimately. Because the balance that the quality of God is a focus more on who we're being rather than what we're doing. And then it reflects God's priorities for our life. So spiritual balance is achieved as we vigilantly make time to know and trust God and make that the priority in our life. So balance as a quality of God is not about having it all together or having nothing ruffled in your inner or outer being. Now, that's a nice goal. I mean, I really like to have life work like that. But we're not talking about what we have to work to do. We're talking about how to uncover what our natural tendency is. Because the qualities of God are our inheritance. It's who we are at the core and who we sometimes forget. So I like to think of balance as the blending of seeming opposites in life. Because in God, and focusing on God as a priority in life, we discover there really are no opposites. We're back to that no duality again. And in our experience, we see things that way all the time. Because in our life, for example, we label our experiences as ups and downs, don't we? And most of us want to spend most of our time feeling up, you know. I once had a very wise lawyer, a very good lawyer, by the way, who told me that I could expect my business and my life to be just like a roller coaster with all of its ups and all of its downs. And actually, he said, the down part of the ride is really the most exhilarating. Think about that. We've all been on roller coasters, but it's only exhilarating if and when you learn to relax with what is. And most of us would like to have life be a series of wonderful events, one after another, with nothing happening that upsets or disturbs us in any way. Isn't that true? You know, I'm coming to see that the upsets in my life, You know, if I let them be and learn what the healing is in them about. Did that come out straight? You know what I'm saying. Learn what it is that is needing to be healed. The reason they're upset is because that's God saying, there's something here that's not in alignment with me. There's something here that needs to be shifted just a bit. Any kind of upset in my life can be seen that way. And they are, the upsets then, are the greatest vehicle to my spiritual growth. You didn't like that message, right? You know, the foundress of my former religious community, her name was Mother Mary Veronica. And she used to say, I love this quote, the best growing days are the days when the sun doesn't shine. Interesting. The best growing days are the days when the sun doesn't shine. So spiritual growth in our life doesn't come in the moments of calm. This may sound contradictory. It doesn't come in meditation and in prayer. However, the moments of calm, the moments of meditation, the moments of prayer teach us how to look at the things that we might say throw us off balance so we can really glean the maximum learning about ourselves from them. See, so it's not that spiritual growth comes from those times of quiet, but those times of quiet are in our life so that we can see the spiritual growth when it's trying to come in. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise, we just think, oh, life is one upset after another, and it's those people out there, and I got to deal with it, and what a mess it is. Isn't that how we often react? Rather than saying, ah, another gift. But when we spend our life in prayer, and when we spend our life absolutely committed to God and to our spiritual growth, when those things happen that seem to be throwing us off, those are the very things that are calling us to center. Interesting. Do you know that an eagle knows when a storm is approaching long before it ever breaks? And the eagle will fly to some high spot and wait for the winds to come. And when the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the winds will pick it up and lift it above the storm. I love that. And while the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring above it. That's our point here. The eagle doesn't escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher. And it rises on the winds that bring the storm. We can learn from the eagle. I'm also reminded that a jet plane spends most of, or about 95% of the time in flight, being off course. That's an interesting piece. But it gets to its destination by a continual process of slight correction. That's what a pilot is there to do. Otherwise, the plane could just go. Constantly correcting the flight. I think that's an apt metaphor for what balance in our life is about. It's not staying on a course without ever having an error, but continual correction to come back to center. I think that's the gift of balance. And that reminds me of a joke. Like my segues here. It's about balancing a checkbook.
Oh, jeez.
Well, tired of having to balance his wife Cindy's checkbook, Mike made a deal with her. He'd look at it, but only after she had spent a few hours trying to wrestle it in place. The following night, after spending hours poring over stubs and figures, Cindy said proudly, I've done it! I've made it balance! Impressed, Mike came over to take a look. Let's see. Mortgage, $550. Electricity, $70.50. Phone, $35. You could tell this joke was written a long time ago. It's certainly not in Sarasota. His brow wrinkled as he read the last entry. It says here, ESP, $615. What the heck is that? Oh, she said, that simply means error someplace. Balance is not about staying the course without error, but continual correction to come back to the center, whatever it takes. I just came back from a retreat with a group of ministers. We spent it at a Benedictine abbey and convent in Kansas City, Missouri. Very interesting. And we used, for our retreat, the four elements of the rule of Saint Benedict to focus our first 4 days. And wouldn't you know, the first rule of Saint Benedict is, yes.
Balance.
It's like, I can't get away, can I? There are no accidents in life. The exhortation there was that we need a blending in life of work and recreation, of our inner and outer work, of speaking and silence, and attention both to physical and the spiritual aspects of our life. And the harmonizing of these seeming opposites is what makes life work. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, where are we in regard to all of those aspects? And I'd like to look at that and just ask ourselves, you know, how balanced are you in the area of work and recreation? Now, where do you spend most of your time? How about inner work and outer work? I think that one shakes most people up. How many of us live in the outer plane all the time and don't take the time we need for our inner life? Speaking and silence. We were not in silence all day, much to my chagrin. I would have loved that. But we did come together every morning and every evening and spend the bulk of the middle of the day in silence. And it was very, very powerful. I think I had the most profound experience of developing community that I've ever had before. There were 30 of us there, and we left as one. Incredible experience. And I know that most of that was because of the silence that we spent together. Quite interesting. Because we were together in silence, when we came together to speak, we spoke out of a whole different place. And so our evening sharings were incredible. Now, we also had time to sit and be with the monks who were chanting the hours, or be with the nuns. Let me tell you, I did a bit of healing. My past life got healed last week and didn't even know it needed to be. It's one of those things, what life gives us gifts continually. And we all came together in that, a balance of talking and silence. And we looked at that and started planning all of our future ministry convocations around that. And said, 1 year we'll go play and have fun. The next year we need to be back in silence. Interesting. How many of us keep that balance in our life? What about physical and spiritual aspects of our life? How many of us spend so much time in the physical realm that we neglect the spiritual? Or otherwise, spend so much time in the spiritual realm that we neglect the physical? The Order of Benedict is very interesting. Work and pray is their motto. And looking at both of those things in perfect balance. You know, many parts of our life need to be brought into balance, and they may seem to conflict. So we have responsibilities to our family, responsibility of earning a living, maintaining our health, giving attention to our spiritual life, keeping up with the deluge of information required to function in this world today, and our duties of community and church, and the myriad other demands that are made on our time and energy. And everywhere we look, we see people that are out of balance. You know, there's story after story of heart attacks of people who lived in so much stress because parts of their life were out of balance, or people who are ill because of poor eating or lack of exercise, and people who live too much in their heads and never come back to their hearts. There are even spiritual giants who die from diseases because they denied or neglected their bodies. So interesting. So no one of these things is better than the other. There are people so caught up in caring for their bodies that they forget that they have a spirit. You know, and there are people that so caught up in their feelings that they neglect to remember to develop their minds. They fail to integrate their minds, their hearts, their spirit. All of it. To balance these, we need something to balance them on. Like that teeter-totter, there has to be some central point. And the more complex our lives are, and I think they keep getting more and more complex, don't you? I don't find life getting simpler these days. I find it getting... I meet all kinds of retired people who never have time for anything. It's quite interesting. Well, think about that. You know, it's not any less... You know, when you're not working, it's not any less busy what we do. We realize, though, when we get so involved, there's got to be a balance point, and of course that balance has got to be God. Only God pervades everything, underlies all the material and spiritual aspects of our life. And so we've got to learn to make God the balance point. I don't think there's another answer. Now, when I look at life with a clear understanding, balance is about finding God in a continual spiritual practice. Now, in our modern society, it's challenging to find time. But we need to find ways of simplifying our life. We've got to stop looking at the newer and better and the whole material pursuit of things. What happens after the culture just goes out after more and more material things? I love this. I found a quote from the Buddha who said it very succinctly. He said, "Those who have cows have care of cows." Interesting, isn't it? The more we have, the more we need to care for. So I think it's important that we take some time this week to analyze our life and look at how much time we're putting into taking care of all the unnecessary necessities. You hear me? All those unnecessary necessities, all the toys that we think we can't live without, the things in our life that seem to be so important. And see where you are making time work for you or not. Take a look at that. I remember once a time management class once asked us to record what you did for every hour. Look at where you're spending your life. And notice that you're spending your life. Where is your time, and where is the time for spiritual practice? I recommend, and you've heard me say this before, no less than an hour a day on spiritual practice. The Dalai Lama once said, "If it's too hard for you to find an hour in your day, then you're the kind of person that needs to find two." Interesting. So where is our life? What is it that we're spending time on? I mean, what is it that we want to be remembered for anyway? You know, are we doing the things? I remember once when I had my computer training business. I used to go around saying spirituality was the number one thing in my life, but you know what? I never took time for it. I would be up at the crack of dawn, be in the office by 7 a.m., home by about 10:30, fall asleep, get up, go down the next path, be in a suitcase, running around to the next client, being all over the world. But spirituality was my number one goal. You know, it was out there somewhere, sometime, until I caught myself and said, wait a minute, like, I'm a liar. That's pretty strong words, but it really was. I was a liar. I say my spiritual life, I say that God is the center of my life, and yet how am I spending my time? You know, the measure of our life is where we spend our time and where we spend our money. You know, in our financial freedom class, we did a little chart that said, where is my money going? That's what's important to you. Wherever you spend most of your money is what's most important to you. Whatever you spend most of your time is what's most important to you. So what we want to do is make sure what we say is most important to us is really what we're doing, is really what we're making most important. You know, I think in addition to specific time set aside for prayer and meditation, we need to find ways to bring God into every single aspect of our life as much as possible. At the monastery, they have a practice that they're reminded five times a day by a series of bells. And they call the practice interruption. And it suggests that even if you're praying, you should interrupt your prayer to remember God. Interesting. Interruption, constantly during the day. You know, the Muslims, the Islam, take five times a day to turn towards Mecca and to pray during that time. So I was thinking, you know, I left the monastery and I don't have a bell. So what am I going to do? And you know what? My telephone rings at least 5 times a day. How about yours? No. What if we took the sound of the telephone just to take a pause, a moment to remember God's presence at that moment in our life? See what would happen when you got on that phone and when you did your next task. Take something to remind yourself, God is the center of everything in my life. I know that would go a long way towards helping to inner balance. You know, ultimately, the secret is putting God first. Paramahansa Yogananda once said, giving God a second place is giving God no place. You know, and I think sometimes God gets to be not only second place, but third place, fourth place, eighth place, tenth place. Somewhere in there, I'll fit it in. You know, and everything else seems to be more pressing. Have you ever noticed that? You know, we can continue to delude ourselves. I have to do this. I can't afford to miss that. I have a practice that when things get a little bit overwhelming, I stop and say, what 3 things can I knock out of my list? And it's always a challenge because they all seem so important. What luncheon can I cancel this week because it's just too much? What exercise can I cut out? What can I do? What 1 thing that I'm doing that's keeping me so busy that I don't have time to be, you know, and how can I change that in my life? We need to really schedule life to have that balance so we get a set amount of time every day. And I think it's a matter of commitment. You're going to love it. Our next series is on commitment. No one will show up next week. Next week's Mother's Day. We commit to mothers. We can do that. But the weeks after that, we'll be looking at the whole idea of, you know, I will do it no matter what. That's what commitment's about. I am committed to this. It's not if I find time or when it fits in or I'll see how it fits. Have you ever noticed that when you wait to have time to do something, you know, we'll get together someday. I love it. Terry Coe Whitaker always said, someday is not a day of the week. It just doesn't happen when you let something happen someday, or I'll get around to it. I know I want this in balance, but we need to actually commit to it and say, I'm going to do this no matter what. And doing our spiritual practice no matter what, no matter what else is going on in our life. Now, doctors proved that your blood pressure goes down, your bodily functions work better when you spend daily time in prayer. I probably have the lowest blood pressure of anybody I know. And the last time I had my blood pressure taken a couple of weeks ago, the doctor said to me, how many hours a day do you meditate? Interesting. Very first question. So I thought that was quite interesting. And to lower that, and I can always tell when anxiety is getting up if I take those moments, just even 5 minutes, to be in the presence of God, to remember. And then I'm going to ask, how many days during the month do you spend in silence? Anyone? Anywhere? What a concept. What a unique idea. Give yourself at least 1 day a month to remember your spiritual life. So that's saying God is 1 out of 30 or 1 out of 31. Interesting. I mean, we say, a whole day? What do you mean, a whole day? Amazing, you know. How many take at least a week, a year? I'm only asking, you know, it's the non-smoker after they've been smoking gets converted. You know, I went back on retreat, and I'll never be without one again. You know, I used to do that every year of my life, spend 8 days in silence. Some of you are looking like 8 minutes would be too much. You know, what about spending a week out of every year really looking at your spiritual life? Being with yourself. You know, I'm really good company. I enjoyed myself. It's very interesting. Can you spend that time alone, focusing on your spiritual connection? You know, we say God is number one and our spiritual lives are our first priority, but do our schedules show it? Interesting. What are we doing to schedule our life? Remember the scriptural commandment, keep holy the Sabbath. Let's start there. You know, if you don't want to just mouth it, let's practice it. One day a week. You know, one day a week to spiritual pursuit. I think that remember the Sabbath, there's something that's happened in our society and we've lost it. You know, we've had so many other things take the place. So we get to spend an hour or an hour and 20 minutes, and even that seems long sometimes. And we need to stop and ask ourselves, you know, the Sabbath. Where is our Sabbath? Where is our day of rest? Where is our day that's God's alone? I know that balance comes when we put God first and when we allow ourselves to have that order. And so, suppose you are already giving one day to spiritual practice. What about the other six? No, there. We speak of balance. We're speaking of living a life that's a life lived on purpose. You know, I said earlier, having time to do everything that is important to you. So I also recommend this week we stop and check that out. Are you spending time on what's important? Do you even know what is important to you? Interesting question. What's important to you? What are the things that are most important in your life? Are you spending time doing that? When did you take your last vacation? People tell me proudly, I haven't had a vacation in 3 or 4 years. Well, I want to know what's going on here. You know, we see signs of burnout. When is the last time you really took time to truly just play? I'm speaking to myself. You know, what about making time for the hobbies that we enjoy? Hobbies? What hobby? Right? How many of you can sit here and say, oh, I do. I spend time on my hobby. You know, we get much more accomplished in our work and spiritual life, and we're healthier even physically when we remember this. Stephen Covey in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People talked about a quadrant, 4-quadrant way of living. And think about a grid. The top of the grid says urgent and non-urgent, and the side of the grid says necessary and not necessary. So you see what happens? We can fit things in our life into the urgent and necessary, not urgent and necessary, not urgent and not necessary. You know, interesting thing to look at the things that you're doing in life and put them in one of those 4 quadrants and ask yourself, how much of our time is spent in the urgent and not necessary? How many of us spend most of our days being slaves to our phones and our emails, for example? You know, email was supposed to simplify our life. Now I get 230 messages every day instead of 5. You know, quite interesting. You know, what are we doing here? We often give that first priority in our life, the things where somebody else is calling at us rather than coming from the center of our own life. You know, most of us spend time things like we seldom spend time then instead in the not urgent and necessary. Things like I'm suggesting this week to figure out what we really want in life and how well we're doing with our life purpose. Where are we on purpose? What if every week when I said these things, you actually did them? Interesting. Really. I have seen and know a number of people who do. And what happens is a real life change when we allow ourselves to take that time and do those little exercises. You know, if you don't have a vision yet, I suggest that you really work on a vision for your life. What is it that you're trying to accomplish while you're on this earth plane? Just getting by? Just making it through the day? Is that what we're here for? You know, we'll never know if life is in balance if you don't know what you came to do in this life. How will you know you're in balance or not? You know, I've spoken often about writing your epitaph. And here's a good opportunity to look at that. What do you want written on your gravestone? What do you want people to have said about you when you're gone? You know, if you want to say a loving father and husband who always had the time for us, that would be an interesting thing. And if you're spending 70 hours a week working and never having time to be with anybody, that's never going to happen. So what is it that you would like? You want the world's most successful business person? The person who worked harder than anybody else? Is that what you want on your tombstone? No. What's the vision for your life? What do you want to achieve before you die? And what's motivating you now? What do you want people to say? You know, I have a favorite philosopher, and it's the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. And his motto is, if you don't know where you're going, any which road will take you there. And that's how many of us lead our lives. Any which road, whatever shows up today, we'll see what happens. And we let life take us, you know, let the clients lead us in what we need to do, not us lead the clients. Isn't that what we do very often in business? You know, if I get 14 calls, I'll respond to them. Who's leading here? Whose life is it anyway? So we need to spend time prioritizing our life so that there's time for work, time for prayer, time for play, time for making life better for others, time for community building. You know, no one thing out of proportion to the other dimensions of life. Life's made up of many, many factors. And many things call for our attention, and all of them have their place. I believe we're called to live in harmony with life. And that's with the natural life, the spiritual life, the social life, the productive life, the physical life, the personal life. What do you need to do to stay fresh and alive? Everybody's going to have a different answer. Some of us need to work more. Some of us need to work less. Some of us need to do more exercise. Some of us need to do less. Some of us need to pray more. Some of us, I don't know about praying less. But, you know, what part are you allowing it to play in your life? You know, What are you allowing yourself for variety in your life? How many people say music's such an important part of my life, but never listen to music? I've been guilty of that at times. I listen to music when I'm doing other things. I don't remember the last time I ever just really sat down and just listened to music. No, I do remember I did it last week. But how many of us do that? How many of us take the time for the things that we most enjoy? We need variety in our life. And finally, I think to be truly balanced, the number one priority, we need to make room for love. And we live in a society where people may be richer than they've ever been before. But in the area of relationships, I believe we're a poorer society than we've ever been. Because many of us make very little time for our friends and our family. You know, I wonder how many parents still read a bedtime story to their children. When was the last time you had a dinner around the family table? Interesting. How many people have friends that live close by that they never get time to see? How many people have you said, we're going to get together someday? We've got to do that one of these days. The relationships. You know, I think a lot of our interactions are these brisk emails that we're sending out. And there's so many misunderstandings that go out because it's quicker to do it that way. Why are we doing it? Because we don't have time to do it any other way. I don't have time to communicate, really communicate with another person. Now, I think that's why loneliness is so endemic in our society today. To live a truly balanced life, I believe we have to prioritize our loving relationships and spend more time with one another. Now, in this day-to-day, more than ever before, we have to be in a community where we have real, honest, intimate relationships and communication, and that's the norm. Wow, you want to be in a world like that. Nothing's more important than our relationship. I really believe that God is a relational God and calls us into relationship with one another. When I want to see the face of God, I need to look at another human being. It's in relationship that we truly come to recognize our life purpose and get to know God. So when we're setting priorities, our spiritual life relationships come first. You know, to keep from burnout, to live in balance, we need God as the center of our life. And we need to get a vision for our life. And we need to prioritize so that there's variety in our lives. I thought I'd close today by summarizing what I just said. I gave myself a challenge by using the letters of the word balance. So balance, then, B, the blending of seeming opposites in life. A, all systems working together, physical, organizational, and personal. L, learning and living what is important in life, especially putting the first priority on relationships and love. A, acting on what may not be urgent, but what is truly important. N, noticing what throws us off center and using those upsets to grow. C, constantly coming back to center. And E, enjoying the roller coaster so much more. Not trying to control what happens, but allowing all of life to lead us to God. You know, I'm grateful for a life that continues to call me into balance. And I'm committed to enjoying the process. Join me.